Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to bow down to you, Lord. We thank you for the victory that you have secured for each one of your children. And Lord, there's nothing that compares to that. And so, Lord, if we are worried and in despair and all of these things, help us to really get that in focus with the victory that you have for us. And we're soon out of this world. And all of these things that are filling our schedules and all will all pass away for the most part, anything that's not related to you and to the eternal issues. So help us to pray this morning with those issues in mind and to pray for those especially who don't have that experience of knowing you and your love and your grace and your mercy in their lives. They're miserable. And they will always be miserable as long as they are on that side. Lord, there is no peace for the wicked. And anyone who's not yours at this point is on the wicked side, not on the saved side. So we know that can change as it changed in each of our lives, and a tremendous, tremendous thing. And so help us this morning as we hear your Proverbs once again, and help us to glean from these as you would have it for us at this particular moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I didn't know whether to entitle this chapter the donut chapter or the do not chapter. Depends on all of my do nots have a space between the do and the not, so I guess it's not donut. But we got 11 do nots today, so we got a bunch of do nots here. We also have some groupings. For example, the Proverbs are kind of stuck together, the first three, and then the second two, and then the next three, and the next four, and so forth. So in my Bible, which if you have a Bible, follow your Bibles and not the notes, because the notes don't have this, don't denotate it on it, but you'll see spaces between these Proverbs, which is kind of a break there a little bit. And that's kind of unusual, because in the past we've had pretty much all these Proverbs just one right after the other, and there's no continuity to them. So we'll kind of read them in groups and then kind of look at them individually as well. So the first three here, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. So here we have the subject of eating. And when you sit down with a ruler, that doesn't mean a yardstick. It means it means someone who has political authority, or someone who has authority over you, like a king or somebody. Then consider carefully what is before you, or be diligent to see what is put before you. You know, in the business world, it's very well understood, the dining and wining and dining. You know, you like to give people things to eat to curry their favor, right? Well, this was also done in the spiritual realm as well, too, here in a way. So be careful what is put before you, and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to eat appetite. So if you see all these delicacies and you just scarf them down and eat them all, that is not a good witness, right? In fact, Daniel and his boys wouldn't even eat the king's delicacies. That was really amazing. That's such a great story. If you've forgotten Daniel, go back and read it when you start to worry about the teenagers today who have not had all the most wonderful settings, because Daniel and his boys didn't either, right? They had a march about 600 miles in captivity, and then were being schooled in all of the witchcraft and all the sorceries of the world, basically in Babylon there, and yet they were true to their Lord, weren't they? Verse 4, do not, well, I'll look at that just a minute there. Maybe I skipped over that too much. Do not desire his delicacies, because they are deceptive food. So that's more into the wining and dining. You know, occasionally you'll get an invitation for lunch or breakfast or dinner, and you don't have to get very far into it, and then you see the reason you were invited. It's not because you're such a nice person or wonderful to be with, because they're trying to get something from you. They're trying to sell you something, or they're trying to get you to put in a good word for them, or, you know, they want to use you, right? So be careful. This is when you sit down to eat in front of somebody, basically, who is providing you some tasty looking things. Verse 4, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. cease, stop. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So if your goal is to get rich, you're having the wrong goal, because that's going to pass away. And it's because of your own understanding. So you're seeking not something that's directed by the Lord. You're seeking your own goal here. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. I know Vernon McGee in his commentary said, look at your dollar, you'll see an eagle on the back of it. That's why they fly away so fast. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Verse 6, do not eat the bread of a miser, or this can be an evil person, or this can be a stingy person, nor to desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. He's offering you this food, but he's stingy. Don't eat it, because if you eat it, he'll hold it against you, basically. And the morsel which you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. And so, or lose, it could really be, it's not just waste, it could be lose. You lose your pleasant words. So a man's heart will indicate what his reaction is, not what he says. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are your thoughts in your heart today regarding many, many things? That's what you really are, it seems to me, in this verse. And that'll work its way out through your thoughts and then through your actions. From the heart proceeds it, doesn't it? Verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool. We seem to get fools in here pretty regularly, don't we? Someone who doesn't know the Lord. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool. It would include people who don't know the Lord. There's a lot of fools of various kinds, I guess. He will despise the wisdom of your words. So there's always a link here between wisdom and between wise and wanting wisdom and a fool who despises it. Someone who wants to learn from correction and the fool does not want to hear it. Now we have this again today. Do not remove the ancient landmark. We've had that, I think, two or three times already. It's an important thing. Nor enter the fields of the fatherless. Now this is new. Nor enter the fields of the fatherless. This is the widow. Widows and orphans would say here, not necessarily widow's name, but it's the orphans. Nor enter the fields of the orphans, for who? What? Their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. So be careful how you treat the underprivileged. It says, their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. Number 12, apply your heart to instruction. We have had that before too. And your ears to words of knowledge. What did you listen to this week? Oh, I heard some words of knowledge, but I heard a lot of things that shouldn't have even come into my ears, really. So you don't want to stay there, really, do you? You want to, when those words that are opposite to what you should hear, you should screen out or take them to the Lord. Verse 13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, we want to remember this is all with regard to discipline and not to punishment. But we know if you don't discipline a child, you're doing a tremendous, tremendous disservice to that child. That child will learn discipline one way or the other. But our jails are full of those who still haven't learned it, and they're in jail for their lifetime, right? Coming against authority and so forth. Now, we've had a lot of child abuse, for sure, and the politicians basically have used that as a cause, and they've overreached in the laws and things, and so parents today are told you can't touch your child, really, right, or so to speak, generally speaking. But that's not what the Bible says. That's parent has a responsibility to discipline the child. Verse 15 has a lot of good things in it. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Now notice the double emphasis here on repeatedness here in this method of teaching. My heart will rejoice. Indeed, I will, or I myself. So I myself is a double emphasis on myself. I myself. And then he repeats the rejoice again. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice. Now here he's just saying, I rejoice, and then my inmost being will rejoice. Inmost being, you would term the heart or the reins or your gut or whatever is the most innermost part of you will rejoice. So that's seeing a son who has a wise heart. And when you speak rightly, when your lips speak right things. So obviously the reverse of this is also true. If your son's heart is unwise, you will be the opposite of you'll be unrejoicing, if you will. And if they're saying wrong things, that's a pain. It's not a rejoicing, is it? Now, 17, I circled a couple of these, which are kind of my favorite, 17 and 23. 17, do not let your heart envy sinners. Think of that a minute. Oh, I don't do that. Really? Never? Or covet. You can put covetousness in there. Do not let your heart envy sinners. But be zealous for what? For the fear of the Lord. We get the fear of the Lord in almost every time, and it's so important. Are you zealous for the fear of the Lord? How zealous are you for the fear of the Lord? And how and when? This says what? All the day. Are you zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day? Think of what that means. But be zealous. It could be of or in as well. For, it's a preposition. It could be translated either one. Zealous for or zealous of or zealous in. But zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. So that's a good question that I would put down there. How am I in that area? Verse 18, for surely there is a hereafter. You know, the world, the preponderance of the world doesn't believe that. Preponderance of the world means, if you really pin them down to that, probably, well, I die like a dog, right? Take my last breath and blow my brains out, that's the end of it. No, there is a hereafter eternally, because we're created in the image of God. We're not like a dog. We're not like a normal animal. I say normal animal. A non-human animal. Non-human animals, it's not so. But we're created in the image of God. God is eternal. Verse 19, hear my son and be wise. Again, back to a while ago, we had a wise heart. Hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Good advice. Hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Here's what you don't do. Again, by the way, this do not, there's 11 of them in today's study. Do not. And here is a do not mix with drunkards or wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Of course, that scripture, when I hear these words that come to mind in 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's 9 and so forth, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither what? Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor what? Nor drunkards. Drunkards is on that list. And then covetousness and those who are revilers, those who are extortioners, and as such as some of you, what? But you were what? Washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit of God, right? So great, great verse there. Verse says, reminding us here is drunkards. Drunkards. Do not mix with drunkards or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And I was thinking, for most of us, I don't know about most of us, for many of us here, our parents aren't alive anymore. But you still know what your dad would want you to do. You still know what your mom would want you to do, don't you? That never departs. Verse 23, buy the truth, B-U-I, buy the truth and do not sell it. Think of that. Or abide by it and don't depart from it, I would think is also might fit there. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So notice there's four things there. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Are you buying those or are you selling those? In other words, are you acquiring those or are you ridding yourselves of those? I think the believer should always be growing in all of these areas. Truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding through the Spirit. Verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. Here's another rejoice. The father of the righteous. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her bore you rejoice. So we have two rejoices here again. Father and mother will be glad, and the mother will rejoice, the father will rejoice. Both parents will rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Again, I mentioned last time Spurgeon's comment on that, and you remember it maybe. You have two ears, right? But one, what comes in one ear goes out the other. But what goes in one eye does not come out the other. So others will pay much more attention to what they see in you than what they hear in you. And with the parents will say one thing, live another. So what will the child do? They'll not do what the parents say. They'll do what the child does, right? The child will do what the parent does, is what I mean to say. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And then there's an example here, an illustration for a harlot or an adulteress is a deep pit, and a seductress, or again, an adulteress, is a narrow well. Deep pit, narrow well does not sound good. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. So that's something to stay away from, isn't it? So why are there still harlots around generation after generation, even today? It's because they're attracted to that. There is some attraction there. But we have to be wise, because it's like other sin. It looks good on the outside, but it's all full of hooks and death on the inside. Now we have a who has us here for several times. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife or contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Well, you can think of that pretty quickly. We're getting to subject of wine and alcohol here. That fits all of that. Because the answer is, those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. What is mixed wine? Mixed with water? No, I don't think so. That means mixed with something stronger than wine. Verse 31, do not look on the wine when it is red or when it is fermented. There is a place for grape juice, and there's a place when grape juice becomes fermented, it is wine. So this is, do not look on the wine when it is fermented, I think. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent, or at the end it bites like a serpent, and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. It messes your brain up, doesn't it? Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Ooh, that's from the heart. That's where it all starts, isn't it? So you see the sins of drunkenness over and over, don't you? How could they have done that? Well, they were drunk. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like the one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Wow, what a way to end a proverb. So you can see a seaman out there, whether he's in the water or whether he's atop of the mast, all filled up with bruises and cuts and bumps and from being drunk. And he says, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Wow, that's a tragic thing, isn't it? I don't know how many of you have people with a drinking problem in your life, but a lot of families do. We want to stay away from anything that changes your mind, anything that distorts your mind and distorts your thinking. And we had a bunch of those reminders there today. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Help us not to be too glib with saying, well, that doesn't really affect me that much. And I pray it doesn't. But then there's always an element of that that's in each of us. And we need to watch that, it seems to me, and take heed to your word. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Help us to pray this morning in the areas that you would lead us. Help us to be praying aright for the eternal issues, Lord, and whatever you put on our heart, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but you do. So may we be led by you and lead us now in these precious moments together. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you not only will see us through, that through every trial and affliction that you put your children through, we come out better than we were before we went in. And what a beautiful thing that is. We need that. We don't like it, but we need that. Father, I also want to pray for our Congress right now, having seen that at the address this last week, how the one group was so filled with hatred, and they're sad. I'm just, my heart is saddened for them, and I believe generally they do not know you. They couldn't be that position with knowing you, I don't think, really. I don't know, but I think most of them do not know you, and to be in that position of not knowing you and being fearful of everything and filled with hatred, such a terrible way to live. And they don't, any unbeliever really, it fits all unbelievers, they don't know how to live. And they are not being blessed by you because they are out of your blessing. They will not come in. They haven't come in yet. So we pray for them. So Lord, for the representatives, I pray that there would be those that would come to you today. There would be those that would come to you right now, even as we pray. They would repent, they would confess of their sin, and they would become a child of God. Yes. And I pray rather than fighting against what things are good for this land constitutionally, they would be in a board doing what you would want them to do. I pray for the 48 senators, the same thing. And when we see not one of the senators or not one of the representatives in that group would vote for the obvious things that are good for the country, good for civilization, good for protection of our children, and so forth. They would not approve any of that. And so I just pray for that, Lord, that there would be one after the other who would come across the aisle, so to speak, and work together. We pray for that unity. I thank you for those 10 that did cross over and approve the censure of the guy from Texas this last week, and two of them are actually from California, two of those representatives, so I thank you for that. But at least those 10 did stand up for a little decency there, even though they didn't show any others during the message. But nevertheless, just thanking what you're doing that's so good. I thank you for those executive orders, Lord. And almost all of them, and at least all of them I know anything about, are good for the land. They're constitutional, but they will expire with the next president unless they're brought into law. And so that's where the Congress is so important to get these things passed. I pray for that continuing resolution, which has to be come together in the next, it has to come together by the end of next week, I think it is. But Lord, I hear now the Freedom Caucus is for it, and you have been so faithful recently with causing those groups to come together where every single Republican was needed except one to get it to pass, and you brought it together. So we thank you for that, and we pray for that continuing harmony in both sides, really, but especially in enough and for these various things coming up. I haven't gotten to the budget yet. That'll be hard. But we've already seen a couple of $1 trillion is being wasted now. I already found that in terms of graft and all that. So we thank you for all of that that's being revealed. And I just pray that your will be done. You brought this country so far in the last few months, and you didn't bring us here to leave us. And yet I think the ultimate destination is going to depend on us. It's going to depend on the church. Is the church really going to pray? Is there really enough heart in this land that loves you and stands for you that you will bless it? Or is it one going to be that we turn against you and your judgment, your wrath will fall? And so, Lord, you know, we see the Bible filled with that, and Israel would fall over and over and over again and miserable and separated from you for thousands of years because of that. But you are true to what you say. So, Lord, may we look at Deuteronomy 28, and may we see the blessings that accrue to those who bless you, serve you, and two or three times that list is the ones that don't, and the curses there are unbelievable. But that's so real because that's true. So continue to lead us in this time of prayer, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing. And just pray for more to come into the fold, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, we've come to the end of our brief prayer time, really, and we have seen the hearts of all of us, I think, wanting what is right. The one verse I came back to again, and we're going to close with the song. I think we just sang this a couple of weeks ago, Created Me a Clean Heart. But that's really was reminded of that in verse 17, where I had read earlier, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. The whole problem with this nation is turning away from God. The whole problem of this nation is our hearts are filled too many with hate, and hatred will overcome any reasonable decision. The fear of the Lord, if we had the fear of the Lord, then we're on the right side. We don't have the fear of the Lord enough. So may we be zealous for the fear of the Lord. And so let us just close by singing this song, familiar hymn, familiar psalm here, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God.
And we do.
Father, do renew right spirits in us continually. And Lord, we recognize that one phrase in there doesn't fit anymore. Do not take your Holy Spirit from us. That will never happen for the believer. It wasn't that way when David wrote that. And we thank you that we're not living in the Old Testament times. We've been so blessed in the New. And Lord, we have more. So much has been given to us. So we are held to a higher standard. And we thank you for what you have given us in terms of the access to your word and the access to prophecy and knowing that time is about over. So help us to finish well with the right spirit, Lord. May we be that reflector of yours today and people would see it and they would want you. Help us in that, Lord. May we fear you with reverential awe, Lord. Just bowing down in our heart to you of you have blessed us so much, given us so much, and we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We don't have words to say. We just thank you. Bless each one here. I'm glad, so glad to be with them each week and together with you. And may we do what you would have us to do and be what you would have us to be now. In Jesus' name, amen.